Welcome back. Still on the coming of Elijah. Our pastor has said so many things. Just to state a few. Elijah's ministry is beyond the fivefold ministry.
That's right.
You don't restore by building a new foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And 502 years since the Reformation, his pick, his choice, and not just him, the bride around the world, for Elijah is William Aaron Brown. Okay? We'll continue this interesting discussion.
Yes, I was just telling you, bro, that when Pastor mentioned the fivefold ministry, a question came up, and you finished singing a song in a hymn, God's attribute is manifested. The last part of that song says, we have had the last prophet's message. So why do we refer to William Branham as the last prophet? Why?
Because according to the divine agenda, as stated out in the parable of Mark 4 from verse 26, the stages of the growth of that seed before rapture, the last stage before the sickle is taken for the harvest, is the fruit-producing ministry.
Mm. That's true.
And if William Branham is with the fruit-producing ministry, then he's the last prophet.
Okay.
After him is the rapture.
But we have prophets on the prophets.
They are prophets. I mean, prophets, I ask this church. Because would you rather call his ministry the ministry of the Son of Man, not the Elijah ministry?
Are you not a son of man?
Mm.
Are you a son of anima? So which one is ministry of a son of man?
Because
we have lined that up in our previous edition.
Yeah, for the sake of those who are listening now.
Yes.
Many message believers believe that the ministry of Abraham is the ministry of the Son of Man because of his, you know, the prophetic part of his ministry. That's why I'm asking this.
Which prophetic part of his ministry?
Oh, I think
is there any gift William Branham exercised that was exclusively from him?
Let me rephrase the question, sir. Why do we call William Branham a prophet?
The same reason why John the Baptist was called a prophet, and more than a prophet.
And so in that order, because he's the one restoring us, he's the last prophet.
Yes.
Okay, I think it's clear.
No, he's also a prophet in the order of John the Baptist. That is, you know, why he is the last prophet. He is a prophet in the order of John the Baptist. For the purpose of restoration of the Gentile church. And after that ministry, it is the rapture.
Okay. So after William Branham's ministry, no more restoration ministry.
The restoration ministry started with him now. I mean, the perfecting ministry started with him. So we are not expecting any more monumental ministry like that again. Because there's nothing, no work to be done after you are perfected. And this is a perfecting ministry.
Amen. Okay. All right. Now, coming down to William Branham.
But like I said, if there's any other one that comes up that seems, you know, to be in this order with anything else that can be added to what William Branham did that goes beyond that, who will follow? But for now, none has come up because we haven't started measuring all of them.
So let me ask like the apostles of John. Is William Branham the one to come or should we be expecting another?
Is William Branham to come?
Is he the one to come or should we be expecting another?
According to the scripture, after
John the Baptist?
After John the Baptist, there was a work to be done that necessitated another Elijah.
Elijah, that's true.
Okay.
And after the Elijah of Revelation chapter 11, which is the second part of the fulfillment of Malachi 4, 5, and 6.
Mm-hmm.
There will be no need again. Because after the rapture, after the perfection, it is rapture. So which other ministry will you be looking out for? Rather than Give diligence to make your calling an election. Sure. For okay. our redemption is nearer than when we began.
Okay. That means I'm quoting it's settled that will Abraham is about Elijah then.
We believe so until okay. show me another one.
Until we see another one. All right. Now, this ministry of Abraham, sir,
Amen.
We know you've been in the message for a very long time.
That's right.
Do you think Abraham has been misunderstood?
By two groups of people. His followers and the denominationals. And it's very pathetic that I have to say his followers.
Wow.
Okay, and a question will follow. Why do you say his followers misunderstood him, sir?
Now, because instead of following the message, instead of listening to the message and taking heed to the message, they are looking at the man. And when you look at the man, you certainly have a problem. And that man tried by all means to take the people away from him so that they will concentrate on the message. But human beings being what they are, you see the effect today. Let me tell you what William Branham spoke. In 1965, he says, this was what he says. I think in a message he titled, "Is This the Sign of the End, Sir?" 1962. This was what he had to say. He said, "And friends, don't look to me. I'm your brother. Don't pay no attention to me because I'm just a mortal. I had to die like everybody else. Don't you listen to me, but listen to what I have said. What I said is the message. Don't pay any attention to the messenger. Watch the message. Keep your eyes not on the messenger, but on the message. What it said, that's the thing to look to." He said, "Is this the sign of the end, sir?" That's the end. That's the title of
the sermon.
The sermon he preached in 1962. A brother of mine from Tanzania sent this to me. He said, "There's a certain WhatsApp group of believers in which people share the word, especially from sermons of William Branham. One has just posted that," and he's quoting, "the message is the only thing that can give life today. The Bible only can't give life," unquote. And he says, "I was shocked after reading that and was surprised to see people responding, Amen. I questioned him to say what he meant. For Brother Branham said, the Bible, quote, "the Bible is God in print form and is the blueprint of the church." That's what Brother Branham said. And I told him that, to me, there is no difference between the message of the hour and the Bible. Branham preached from the Bible. After that, I was really attacked by many believers thinking I'm discrediting the message over the Bible. He said, "Brother Moses, can you help me to know the truth of the matter?" And he said, "This is the reason why we young men here are expecting to see Jesus Christ in your ministry. It's like we are the only hope they have now." What is the message and what is the Bible? You see the confusion. Now, the attempt they are trying to do is to place William Branham above the Bible. To make him, equate him with the Lord Jesus Christ. So they'll tell you, place the sermon book side by side with the Bible. You know, this thing is a subtle spirit.
Subtle spirit, truly.
You know, so that he'll be idolized. And this is what William Branham said during question and answers in 1961. He said, "And if some Christian brother will see me teaching something wrong, I will appreciate it if you would call me over to one side after the service and say, 'Brother Branham, I would like to come to your room and talk to you. You are in error upon something.' See? I would sure appreciate that, brother. Because I want to be right. I want it. Now, all of us want to be right. That's why we want to. We want to speak these things. And they got to come through the scripture. You see, to make the scripture tie together. So, how can you read this and ever deify that man, William Graham? In 1962, again, in a message entitled Fellowship.
Fellowship.
He said, some time ago, a friend just wrote me a letter. There was a person standing there by this friend said, Brother Abraham, he said, Brother Abraham is a prophet when he's under the anointing. But he said, don't listen to his teaching. It's wrong. That is accepting the gift, but not the teaching. Now, could you imagine a person say that? A prophet? Why? That's who the word of the Lord come to. There was the only one that had interpretation of the word. I'm not a prophet. I don't claim to be any prophet. But I say, if any person that wouldn't admit that the word of God is right, regardless of how we have to cut ourselves, we got to cut ourselves to match God's word.
Amen.
We can't cut God's word to match what we think. We got to keep in the word. And someone come not long ago and said, the doctrine, this thing that you believe, he said, if the angel of the Lord told you that, we'll believe it. A group of ministers. I said, William Branham, quoting William Branham, I said, the angel of the Lord, if he say anything different, I wouldn't believe him. He said, William Branham said, if the angel of the Lord said anything different
from what the Bible says,
from what the scripture says, I wouldn't believe him. But you behold you. Say, if William Branham say anything contrary to the word, I won't believe William Branham. They will stone you. Such, you know, idolaters. You see the difference?
That's right.
Are they listening to the man? Are they following him? Yes. They misunderstood him.
Please, if I may, would we call this misunderstanding? The sermons of William Branham attacked the voice of God, spoken word of God.
Yes.
God, spoken word. And then this is the written word. And one time you gave an explanation, even here on Rapture Watch, about the spoken word and the written word. How do we reconcile both? Is it that William Branham is misunderstood by calling what he's saying to be the spoken word, or is somebody that tagged it spoken word?
Now, listen. We have the written word.
Amen.
Why we have the written word is God's standard to
Amen.
Judge and discern whatever you see in the church. Coming in the name of the Lord. He gave us the blueprint.
Amen.
Which is the equivalent of the Urim and Thummim.
Amen.
Amen.
So, yes, there is a spoken word known as thus saith the Lord. Now, catch something here. What is the written word? This is the Bible. What is the spoken word from William Branham? The spoken word are not the sermons he preached. The spoken word is, come back to the Bible. Thus said the Lord, because you will see that written here.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Is it from the Lord? It's from the Lord. But you notice, he said, this is all his ministry. Any other thing he preached was to make you believe what he was saying, but see the need to come back to the Bible. I don't know why, how we allow the devil to come and mess up this great ministry like this. I don't know what is confusing about the ministry of William Branham. I don't know what part of it has caused us to idolize him.
Wow.
Instead of listening to the message, we are listening to the messenger. That's why he said, keep your eyes where?
On
the message, not the messenger. William Branham himself said it. Keep your eyes on the message. What is the message? Come back to the Bible.
As thus says the Lord.
You say, but we didn't understand the Bible until William Branham came.
Yes, some people believe so. Mm.
That you don't understand the Bible. The reason you didn't understand the Bible is because you didn't come to the Bible.
You came to your...
If you came to the Bible, God will grant you understanding. Because you were holding the Bible with the filter of your denominations. Mm. Your understanding was based on what, you know, your denominations were teaching. That's why Apostle Paul says, study to show thyself approved. Unto your denomination?
No,
unto God.
Unto William Branham?
No,
unto who?
Unto God.
Unto God. And that was the position until William Branham came to say, study to show thyself approved unto God, not your denomination. He was not forming another denomination. He was trying to remove doctrine of man and bring people from the doctrine of man to the doctrines of Christ. I don't know how the devil messed them up like that. Zealous people, but zealous in idolatry. Mm. Having a form of godliness,
denying the power.
But denying the power thereof.
Lambrand.
Taking heed to seducing spirit. The place where you see seducing spirit in the greater manifestation is in the followings of the ministry of William Brown. That's where you see seducing spirits. They seduce you. What is seduce? Take you away from Christ unto William Brown. Mm. And what is the result? It's what we all know today. Leprous woman. Leprous. Everybody gets scared. Once you mention William Brown, people, don't go near those people. Because they become cultish. Cultish. Another bigger denomination. We. It's very easy to identify idolaters. When you mention the name of their God, they're excited. When you mention any other God, they look at you. That's how you are known. The prophet said, yes, sir. Oh, they never even say what he said. They're already shouting. But you mentioned the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ said, this sign shall follow them that believe. They're looking at you. But you mentioned William Branham had this sign that followed. Yes, sir. That's the kind of sermon that excites them. Idolaters.
Wow, I'm almost speechless.
So blind until they can't even identify the Holy Ghost again. That Jesus that William Branham taught us, he made us brought back to life. Hebrews 13:8.
Amen.
Jesus the same
yesterday
and today and forever. He made us to bring alive. Mark 16, this sign shall follow them that believe. You know, he made us to believe that all things are possible. Only believe. Believe what? Believe the prophet. If you believe the prophet, oh yeah, now, what are the things that are possible? Go ahead now. What are the possibilities that take place when you believe the prophet? Because you don't understand him. How can you believe what you don't understand?
You talk so much about William Branham, Bolu, and this question comes to our mind. This Pentecostal enjoyment or revival we're enjoying, how do we...
When you say we, who do you mean? What do you mean?
I mean, in our time. This is the 21st century.
Okay.
Yeah. This Pentecostal revival, at what point did it start? Because if we're talking about William Branham, then it seems as if he started this Pentecostal movement.
No, he didn't start the Pentecostal movement. He didn't start the Pentecostal movement at all. How can you say he started the Pentecostal movement now, Gabriel? When you are there reading...
It's a question.
How can you be preaching that error, Gabriel? Gabriel, you're a preacher, youth pastor.
Oh, my God.
That William Branham, with all the education you have gone to, with all the information in the internet, you still stand and say William Branham started Pentecostalism.
Okay.
When the history is there, the knowledge is there. Why do you willingly get yourself deceived? Okay. Even the William Branham himself, this is what he said.
Okay.
This is what he said. He said, William Branham said, Luther walked in one light. Wesley walked in another. Wesley walked in one light. Pentecost walked in another. He said, but we are walking on higher than that today.
That's higher than Pentecost.
Yes. And if there is another generation, it will go beyond us.
Wow.
See, this is what William Branham said in God's only provided place of worship, a sermon he preached in 1965. Paragraph 90 there from 90, he said, well, that's the way it is in this age that we are living in. You've got to find what is God's way of doing it for this age. That's what Martin Luther found. That's what John Wesley found. That's what the Pentecostals found in their age. God's age and time to do it. Now the Pentecostals, that brother, what I believe one of his eyes was out, a colored brother who really started the Pentecostal message in California.
Amen.
The old Azusa Street. I'm quoting William Branham. He was laughed at because he was a Negro. He was made fun of, but he brought a message for that age. I am quoting William Branham. The sermon, God's only provided place of worship, preached 1965. You want me to read it again?
You have to, sir.
He was laughed at because he was a Negro. He was made fun of, but he brought a message for that age. Just a little body, a fellow who hardly signed his own name, but the Lord had revealed to him that this was the age for the restoration of those gifts. And they come. No matter what said, it come. But everybody got in the atmosphere of it and seen it was that age. And seen God vindicating that those people could speak with tongues and so forth. It happened. But then, when he went and pinned it down that this is the only evidence that killed it. See? Goes right on. That did it. Then they started separating this, that, and making denominations. And one is coming on a cloud, and the other one is the bush. And oh my, there it goes. That is William Branham himself acknowledging what God used William Simon to do. Now, do you know that even William Branham himself received the Holy Ghost under Simon? He says in a message here, this is own testimony. In 1953. The title of the message is The Cruelty of Sin and the Penalty That It Costs to Rid Sin from Our Lives. That's the title of the message. The Cruelty of Sin and the Penalty That It Costs to Rid Sin from Our Lives. He preached it in 1953. And this is what he had to say. He said, oh, I know how hard it was that night when I walked in that little old colored mission out there. And all the white folks standing around there said, there he goes into a colored mission. It was hard. I walked up there with a whole lot of Kentucky pride in me. Like that. But God said, if you want it, walk right on in there. And I walked right in there and knelt down to an altar. And there I stayed until the Lamb. I died to all self. Billy Branham. 20 years ago. Hallelujah.
Amen.
William Branham got converted under Simon.
Wow.
By his own testimony.
Amen.
He received the Holy Ghost under Simon by his own testimony.
Amen. Still looking at Elijah, William Branham being misunderstood. You said so much is misunderstood by his followers and the denominational.
Even further, I mean, there's something that William Branham spoke that I should quote here too, concerning this idolizing thing. In a message, that he titled Being Led of the Holy Spirit in 1956. Mm. Being Led of the Holy Spirit. Mm. This was what he had to say. That's why I said it's being misunderstood. He said, many times the people stray away and they make an idol out of the very thing that God has ordained. Do you believe that? Look at the serpent, the brass serpent in the wilderness. Did you know the prophet had to tear that serpent to pieces? Why? Because the people were worshiping the serpent and they made an idol out of it. Do you believe you can do that today? You can make an idol out of your church. You can make an idol out of your pastor. You can make an idol out of an evangelist. And I'm afraid that that's what a whole lot of it's being done. They idolize the man. I was in California speaking to the Christian businessmen, and I was talking on the subject of Paul, said that one thing that he feared, that is, that the people will overthink of him and not of the Lord Jesus. Oh, so he didn't come to them in excellency of words, but he came to them in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That they will not worship him or believe too much above him, upon him, but will believe in the Lord Jesus, that their faith might not be in Paul, but might be in Jesus. Yeah. And today, that's the thing today. When we see people, and people are so subject in this day to jumping at little flowery thing, till it makes you kind of wonder sometimes. Don't never think above one man above another. No, sir. No matter who he is. If he's just a little old fellow out here giving tracts out on the street, and if he's a Billy Graham, no matter who he is, if he's God's servant, respect them all the same, everyone. Don't have one above another and favorites. We don't have that. Don't do that. And don't respect one person above another. Let everybody be on the level. That is one. And in 1963, this was what he had to say also. He said, don't put your confidence in a man. When that man leaves the word of God, you leave the man. See? You leave the man. Stay with God. God is the word. Ministers, take this to heart. Gifts and callings are without repentance. He preached that in 1963. And concerning gifts in 1956, gifts as a topic. He said, I am afraid, friends, as I talk to your pastor today, churches get the pastor's spirit instead of God's spirit.
Wow.
That's why I said that we are misunderstood.
But sir, what about you? Why do anti-message believers why do they criticize you? Why are they not accepting your own ministry, sir?
It's because I will not follow them and idolize William Branham.
Because so many of them will say, Brother Moses is not in the message.
That's right.
Do you know why? Why he said, Brother Moses is not in the message? You know, there was something that William Branham spoke. You see, they choose what to believe William Branham said. Because he said so many things. And whichever one you like, you know, you apply. Let me read something to the critics. In this is what William Branham spoke in 1964, looking unto Jesus.
Okay.
This is what he said. He said, I had more understanding and better fellowship with a bunch of African witch doctors than I did that group of ministers that morning. Those who were criticizing him in these days. They give more consideration to the word of God and ask questions for that I could give them the hope that laid within me for the hope of eternal life. The witch doctors. These ministers had no time for it at all, his critics. Just exactly. As soon as you will say something, out there we go. And so that's the way it is. They got their mind made up. They just stay so long And that's all they want to know. If it's one word disagreeing with any petty thing that they believe in, they cannot stay and listen through it. That's the reason they couldn't believe Jesus Christ at his first advent. That's the reason they will miss him in the second advent. Mm-hmm. And he's put another one again. You know, he repeated this in the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. William Branham repeated in 1958, the sermon titled The Great Commission. He said, recently, I had a breakfast with a bunch of ministers. And I say this with respect, brethren. I would have rather had a breakfast with a bunch of witch doctors. Now, that sounds horrible to say than these men. I would have had a better reception. I would have had a more an agreeing spirit with a bunch of witch doctors many times than I would with that bunch of ministers. Such a horrible thing. God deliver us from such. We are so intellectual. Everything is moved away from the spirit. It's the word. It's the word. It's a word. God. Sure, I believe in the word. But if the spirit don't agree with the word, then you got something mixed up somewhere.
Now,
your question again. Okay, why sir. Why do they...
Coming down to you, sir.
Why do they disagree?
Why do they criticize you? Because we know there was something in Tanzania when you were asked a question.
Yes.
Are you behind William Branham or not?
No.
That was a very interesting during question and answer. One of the pastors in Tanzania asked me, the way you are preaching, tell us now, are you behind William Branham or not? And he shocked everybody when I said, no, sir, I am not behind William Branham. I am behind the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay. I am not a servant of William Branham. I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. William Branham didn't call me. Jesus Christ called me.
Are you trying to say
how can you ship me from my master to another master? Pastor, I know who my master is.
Are you saying William Branham is not our absolute?
Do you know the meaning of absolute? That is unquestionable.
So someone that has such a monumental ministry, could he be questioned?
What is the monumental ministry?
To restore us back to the word of God, of course.
If I have come to the word of God, what else will I find fault in him for? I will find fault in him for telling me to come back to the Bible.
Okay.
I can't find fault in him.
Apostle,
his message was perfect. So there was, if that is what you mean by absolute, yes. If that is what you mean by absolute. But if you mean to deify him, that everything he said, he taught, said the Lord, the only message he had from God is come back to the Bible, and he didn't fault in it. Any other thing he says, he can fault in it.
Okay. What if somebody is asking, but Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ.
It's as I follow Christ. So he still put it. Christ is the one all of us are to follow. Okay. And William Branham said it. You put your confidence in a man, you will miss it.
Okay.
Our attention is we focus on Christ.
Yeah. Okay, sir. Before we round up this discussion, sir, still being misunderstood, issue of women ministry, the TV. And for instance, anointing oil, you pray with anointing oil and then prophetic actions.
Yeah, what are
ministration in your ministry?
I will give you a quote. You can see I'm ready with some quotes here. I have some quotes that you know, this was the greatest problem that William Branham had is what I have too.
What's that, sir?
The demonstration of the Spirit. And power. That's the only thing lacking among them. And it's confusing them. The same way this manifestation around the ministry of William Branham confused the denominations. And this is what William Branham said. Indictment. A sermon that he preached titled Indictment 1963. He says, I pray for the ministers today who is crucifying the word again by taking their creeds and dogma and denominations and dogmas and substituting it for the word of life. And then, before the people, they criticize the real truth that God is vindicating to be his truth. We pray for them. Father, that you will call them to the marriage supper again. And may they come this time and not find excuses. For I realize the last call have already gone. It may be too late now. I trust that it's not. And that's the same prayer that I'm praying for this entire message.
Preachers.
This is what they have to say. In that same indictment, this is what William Graham had to say. And again, they say the same thing. It's a sort of witchcraft. They are saying that what the power, and that was what they were saying when we got to Tanzania.
Yeah.
And that's what some inter-message pastors are saying. They say, I have gone to TB Joshua to collect power. They say, Saleh, they buried me, and Saleh gave me power by burying me in a coffin somewhere, maybe in a graveyard somehow. You know what I always answer them? I said, there's one very interesting thing, is that they recognize that there is a power
with you,
with me.
That's true.
But the problem they have, which is going to land many of them into trouble, is that they call it of the devil. When many of them know that this is the genuine gift of the
Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
William Branham suffered it too. And in paragraph 348 of that message, that's what I was quoting. It says, and again, they said the same thing. It's a sort of witchcraft. It's fortune telling. Do you know that Amos of Moboriowo,
the John himself,
the John ministry, the one that claims he's John? I read it. You know, I'm quoting confidently because I read it. I didn't hear it. I read it. He wrote it in one of his sermons. Where he says that he described Amarachi as
the witch of Endo.
The witch of Endo. They say it's a sort of witchcraft. It's fortune telling. Placing him again on the cross of shame. What cross? What shame? His vindicated word, making fun of it. Telling the people is the devil, making something and calling. He said, they calling the holy works of God an unclean spirit, doing it. No forgiveness for it. Will Abraham say so? Making shame of his word, trying to expose it and call it a fake of fanaticism. Don't go to it. Don't attend the meetings. And on, William Branham is saying it. Exactly what was going on when I got to East Africa. Paragraph 351. What do they do by doing that? They take their denominational creed nails. That's right. These pleasure-hunting teachers, worldly, ungodly, denominational mad, take the denominational nails and crucify the Son of God with it afresh from their pulpits. Why do they do this? They love the praises of men, the degrees that the church can give them, more than the love of the word of God. I condemn them, William Branham says so. They can't conform to the word because they can't conform to the word. This was by William Branham himself in the sermon. Indictment. And all of them read it. But they are unable to know when they themselves too are guilty of it.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
Because take for instance, we went to Tanzania. Among inter-message people in Tanzania,
that's true,
we don't know anybody there. And God is coming down and calling names. And calling phone numbers of people. Mighty disarmaments were going on. Mighty healing until a deaf and dumb, known by all of them, was healed.
Hallelujah.
People vomiting things out of their body after the water ministration. Healings were taking place. Before their eyes, Take for instance, I was talking about the Holy Ghost. And I was telling them how that you stay in some of these dead churches and even what God has given you cannot manifest. I was telling them of the need to discover the talent you have, the gift that God has given you, and that every one of us will have a ministry, and your gift defines your ministry, man or woman, properly placed. I was teaching that, and the God that vindicates me anywhere I go.
Amen.
Anytime I speak the truth, he comes down and confirms it.
Amen.
I don't know anybody there. I just heard the name Esther.
Shama.
I said, why am I here? I said, who is Esther? And the sister came out. And as she stood before me, I heard again the Lord telling me, designing her, your husband is a minister. She said, yes, the husband ran from another corner of the meeting and came out. And I heard it again. And I only repeated what I heard. She's one of the prophetess. And I just tapped and said, and this is one of those I'm talking about. And the power of the Holy Ghost took over that lady. And she began to speak in tongue and interpreted in a Swahili language.
Hallelujah.
And I understood that by what they told me later, it was a prophecy for some people sitting down there.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Right before you, you are going back to your pulpits and telling people they should come back to the altar and vomit the nonsense they had from Pastor Alu in the meeting. Well, you heard the way God is dealing with them.
Yeah, I got the message. Yes, I heard.
You heard it when the prophet Jayola came out at the last day. He said, this is thus said the Lord. This is dry season now in Tanzania and the Middle East. East Africa.
East Africa.
This is the real dry season now. No rain. He said, it shall be a sign to you, thus said the Lord, that I have sent my servants to shine the light here. There will be a rain after we leave here. And when we left, that rain fell.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And it's still not enough to close their mouth. It's the same spirit.
Plus nothing more than that. The Holy Ghost. So it's just more. Envy that makes them criticize.
Nothing more. Now that's one of it. Somebody asked me a question about women.
Yes, we have gifted sisters. Some of them even travel with you.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Women ministry.
You know, I got this from a brother from Tanzania who asked this, he sent this to me. He said, some believers asked, where did Amarachi stand when she was prophesying? Claiming women are not allowed to stand behind the pulpit. But he's talking to somebody who is a follower of the minister of William Braham. He said, I then asked him, if it's allowed for women to translate when the preacher is preaching. He said, women aren't allowed to do so. He claimed to be a believer of the message. Then I showed him this quote. See, let's arm ourselves so that we reply to these critics. In the message, William Branham preached three witnesses.
Three witnesses.
In 1951.
Three witnesses.
This is what William Branham said. And when we got off there, went into the auditorium to have the service, oh, what a crowd of people gathered. My. And I remember the second day, there had been some wonderful healings take place. And the Holy Spirit, here's the way it will work. Now, see, it all had to be translated. Mrs. Isaacson was our translator.
Mrs.
Isaacson was our translator and the best that I ever seen in my life.
Wow, a woman.
Brother Baxter, as rapid as he preaches, should follow him right there with his sermon in translation with it. The best I ever knew of, and she will interpret for me.
Hallelujah.
Wow, a woman.
So, woman interpreter.
The woman interpreter. Of course, in interpreting, you will start with the person preaching.
Exactly.
Now you see how they understood that the woman should not stand in the pulpit. Is it standing in the pulpit that makes you a pastor? So I hope they will know that there is such a quote and begin to
rethink.
To adjust.
Now that does not ordain Mrs. Azizin as a preacher.
That's true.
Now, when you come to a prophetess, they don't even believe that. And then to start with, because a similar question was asked, that why is Amarachi prophesying in Tanzania when the Bible forbids a woman preacher? Then I told her, I said, she has a message to give. I said, who is at the altar now? I said, I am at the altar. And I gave a microphone to give a message. Who is an authority here, she or me? And they all kept quiet. Of course, our followers who were there, they were clapping hands because,
hallelujah.
You know, they knew. The theme of the program was
no more bondage.
They knew they had been in bondage all this while. Some of them had the same gift like this sister Marachi had. But they are caged under those blind preachers. And those cages are very serious cages. Because what they use to tie them, they are serious quotes. You can't come out of it unless God open your eyes to get a counter quote to lose yourself.
That's why I came prepared
with this quote. So that nobody will say I'm speaking of my own.
There are
some of them that unless you quote William Branham, you have not spoken the correct thing. So let William Branham speak. Now, concerning prophetess, why we are not a denomination, he preached it in 1958.
Amen.
And this was the comment he made. He said, now, but then, the circumcision of the Old Testament, I'm reading paragraph 178, was in the flesh. But in this New Testament, Joel said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now, the word prophecy does not mean teach. The prophecy means to either tell an experience under inspiration or foretell something that is fixing to take place. That is, it's trying to tell you what Joel prophecy meant.
Amen.
Okay. And we know that there are prophetesses in the Old Testament. They never could speak out in the building, but out in the church, in the congregation. Speak out in the church, in the congregation as a teacher. But she, Anna, and many of them in the temple, they were prophetesses. And they were, Miriam was a prophetess or something like that. She had the spirit on her, that's true. But she had her limitations of place. Women can be prophetesses today, absolutely. But not teachers and so forth behind the platform here. He repeated this in a sermon he titled Luke. In 1963.
That's right.
This is what he had to say. What's the little fellow's name? He was going to dedicate a baby. The mother says, it's a little girl. It's Rebecca. Rebecca, last name? Hammer. This is brother and sister Hammer. Yes. God bless you. This, your only one? He said, fourth girl. You ought to be an evangelist, Philip. Evangelist. Philip had four daughters. You know, he was joking.
That's right.
Philip had four daughters, you know, because some inter-message quotas, we said, since you have four daughters, you should be an evangelist. Brother Abraham says so. that's what I'm saying, it's only joking. It was not prophesying. You know, and they were all prophetesses. He says, the father says, I'm not a minister. Then he said, you may not be, but I trust that God will give you four prophetesses out of these daughters. Anyway, Brother Hammer. Therefore, William Branham believed in sisters
prophesying.
Women prophetess. And what they disagree with me is the water ministration, despite how I explained it. But William Branham too did water ministration.
Seriously, sir?
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Lambram did water administration. That's great.
He preached this in 1960, titled The Revelation That Was Given to Me. This is what he had to say. All right. I was calling a sick case. Listen to what he said. About 2 days later in St. Louis, Missouri, I didn't have a coat to wear. Someone gave me a coat to wear over. And I went over to a man that had a little girl that had St. Vito's dance. St. Louis is the head of medical association. And many doctors had been trying to cure this child. She was the daughter of a famous minister. How he ever knew about this, I don't know yet today. I went to the home. The little girl was like an animal, scratching her head, chewing on her tongue, shaking all over. So I went in, knelt down with many other Christians, offered prayers, started up, and the Holy Spirit said, wait here until you have orders. You know, he's a prophet. Mm. Oh, praise the Lord. Mm. Wait here. I asked the reverend, if you will, let's go down to his church. We'll go for his church, have prayer, go back to the house. All day passed, all night. The next day, I was waiting, and I was sitting in his car. And as I looked across the hood of the car, I saw a vision coming in. I waited to see what he would say. After I had the vision, I got out of the car, went to the house, and said to the old minister, sir, I have thus said the Lord. Bring in your father. And we went to the bed. I said to the lady, the minister's wife, 2 days ago you were down in the city. You bought a little white vessel, little crock or a vessel, you know, like a little bucket. It has never had water in it. It's located in your pantry beneath the sink. She said, that is true.
Discernment.
Go get it. Put water in it. Mm. Get a white cloth and bring it here.
Even a white cloth.
Bring it here and ask nothing. Just do as I say. Mm. And I told the minister to stand with me at the foot of the bed. The minister on the right, his father on the left, the mother standing by the side of the child. The little fellow couldn't even make hardly noise anymore. It was so far gone. I said, take the little rag and squeeze the water from it. And when I start with a model prayer of our Father who art in heaven, wipe the rag across his face. Don't let your hand leave his face. When I get to the middle of the prayer, this give us the day, our daily bread. Let the handkerchief be about the middle of the child. And when I say amen, let the hand go across the feet. And we started. That was exactly what I had seen in the vision. Mm-hmm. And she started with the rag coming down. And when I said amen, then she took her hand off. I said, great God of heaven, who met me out there in the cabin, sent his angel to declare this. I speak for that child's life. Let the child live. This is from William Branham himself.
Mm. Prophetic action.
Prophetic.
Right. Very serious one.
Okay, you know better. Prophetic action. One of the things, again, they disagree with Pastor Moses, myself here, is about the anointing oil. Mm-hmm. And when a believer begins to doubt the use of anointing oil, I don't know what else you believe from the Bible. Mm. Well, they will not believe from the Bible, so let me tell them where they will believe. This is what William Branham said. And he preached this, titled Divine Healing. Mm. He preached in 1954. He said, and Father, as they bring the sick here in person this morning, he was praying, to be prayed for. I pray as we lay our hands upon them, anointing them with oil according to thy word. Oh. That every one of them will be healed. Grant that our faith will be right and their faith will be right. It's anchored exactly on the word that has been preached this morning. The word of the living God. And get glory to thyself, for we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
William Branham believed in the
anointing oil.
In the anointing oil.
No.
And also concerning the television.
That's yes, sir.
Why don't you take the TV last? What about prayers?
There is another quote about prayers. Mm-hmm. This is what he had to say. He says, oh, as we see these things approaching, he said, we ought to be on our knees. This is Lebrun speaking, crying out, oh Lord Jesus, do something for us right away. We might try to pull the last person that can be brought into the kingdom of God. Pulling ourselves together and having conferences and meetings and get together in prayer meetings all night long. The trouble with the church tonight, we just go and kneel down and pray and yawn a few times as sleepy and tired and have to go home and go to bed. It isn't like the early Pentecostal church. They prayed all day and all night. I met these old timers from 40 years ago. Said they will pray all day and all night. Walk on the streets. Today, we become classical. I want to compare with the big churches. And that's where we make our mistakes. The title of the sermon is Conferences. And he preached it in 1961. Mm-hmm. That is about prayers.
Prayers. Mm.
What else do you want me to quote again?
And finally on TV.
And on TV.
That was a very controversial
one
today.
You know,
your ministry has a TV station.
We have a TV station. Yes.
Are you in the message?
We have a TV station and it is stumbling many of them.
That's true.
But one day they will all wake up to it. This is what William Branham had to say among many other quotes. I'll just quote just this one. There are many. I say many more.
So I didn't know you two were an original Brahmite. This is the first time I'm seeing you.
We are the original Brahmite. They are fake. do you understand? They are the fake ones because we are the only one reproducing what that man left behind.
So for everything you stand for in your ministry, you have quotes of William Branham.
Everything. Everything that I stand for, I have scripture for it.
Mm. What about quotes?
I have relevant quotes for it.
TV.
Okay, this is what he had to say. Mm. And he said this is testing for life.
Testing for life. Mm.
Testing. Testing for life.
Which is, sir?
And he preached in 1960.
Mm-hmm. 1960.
He said, now, I don't mean to condemn all television programs, nor all radio programs. If you want to look at the television, watch Ora Robots. He's got a good program. Watch that if you want. That's okay. I will endorse that 100%. Billy Graham, Ora Robots, or some of that. That's fine, or anything that's decent and moral. Mm. That's what he said. In 1960, in a message entitled Testing
for Life.
For Life.
For Life.
And in another and continuation, this was what he said also in that same message. He said, radio and televisions, all right. If it had the right thing, it could be a means of the spreading of the gospel.
Hallelujah.
And this is what he had to say in another sermon, the arrow of God's deliverance shot from a bow. The arrow of God's deliverance shot from a bow. He said, what's the matter? That's why they are staying at home. Stuck their head in the television instead of the Bible. Got nothing, he said, I got nothing against the television if it's used for God's program, all right. It was God's way in the first way. Who made the airwaves and so forth?
God.
You see?
That's right.
But the devil just took it and perverted it. It's all it was.
Hallelujah.
From William Branham said, let me read one more. In a message he preached in 1954, titled God Perfecting His Church. He said, and tomorrow afternoon, I believe we have a little interview at the television station.
William Branham.
Which of the TV?
William Branham don't have a TV interview.
In the television station. Mm. Why are you God perfecting the church?
Mm. Wonderful.
So the problem they have with Pastor Moses is that they have another quote where William Graham was condemning the television. Mm. The devil boss. The Holy Ghost will not let him keep that.
Give me a shotgun.
If I have a shotgun, I will blow that thing off.
Wow.
And the devil, knowing how effective the television will be to the spread of the gospel, has magnified that statement out of context.
So, sir, in a nutshell,
and prevented the spreading of this entire message.
If one truly understands the message of the ministry of William Branham, he will find fault with you then.
If anybody understands the Bible, he will never find fault with me.
Okay, let me. What about if one truly understands the ministry of William Branham?
If you can, all evidence you've understood the ministry of William Branham is that you will,
of course, come to understand the Bible
and judge everything happening by from the Bible and, of course, the Spirit of God that we are supposed to have.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
And always remember, before you criticize anything and to be really termed objective, you must show the correct thing.
That's right.
You cannot condemn the denominationalists when you yourself have nothing to offer as alternative. You cage your church members, pastor, enter message. They should not go to any of these places. They should not go to TB Joshua. They should not go to Igila. What are their names? You know them. Messiah. You should not go to these Pentecostals. This is where the gifts are operating. They have the devil. Okay, but they have problem. You that you are of God, solve it now. So you end up just catching God's people. And you have no alternative for them. But God is raising a ministry.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Through these same airwaves.
Amen.
And breaking those cages.
Amen.
Untying them with another coat that tied them. From another coat that tied them.
Okay.
Using coat, we are untying God's people that used coat. And we are tied with the coat. We come with other coats and untie all of them.
No more bondage.
That's no more bondage.
No more bondage. Thank you very much, sir. Our pastor is also a Brahmin.
Oh yes, I am.
Several quotes from 21 sermons. But from 21 different sermons.
Okay, that's
a serious Brahmin that will do that one day. Thank you so much, sir. We've been very blessed by this interesting topic, the coming of Elijah. And we've understood the ministry of William Branham. And for further information about the ministry of William Branham, our pastor has preached several sermons.
That's right.
William Branham being misunderstood is one of the sermon topics of
several
sermons.
Who
is William Branham?
Seven-star messenger.
And the seven-star messenger. Right. You could get all these messages, and in them he broke it down. He gave a proper presentation of the ministry of William Branham. Thank you very much, sir. And if you understand William Branham, you stay in the Bible.
Stay with the Bible.
If you are in the Bible, you will not fault what Pastor Moses is doing.
That's right.
May God keep us rapturable.
Amen.
Shalom to the bride of Christ.